Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is going on up in the stars above us, up in the sky above us. And actually, today we're going to talk about something a little different. I'm going to take you in on a new travel through understanding human design and understanding the planets and how the planets move. So hopefully we are on here together. I am not sure where I am. As usual, it is a little bit confusing when we first start with the broadcast in the morning. However, I'm getting used to it, and I still don't see where it is. Let me go to videos. Maybe it's there. It says I'm live, so I'm going to keep on talking. So today, like I said, we're going to take a little bit of a different look at what we talk about every day, which is usually the moon, or at least that's how we start our day. And so we start our day with the moon because the moon is the fastest moving body, because it's near and dear to our souls, and it tells us about timing. It tells us about our connections with other people through relationships. And so it's always seemingly logical to start with the moon, even though I'm not particularly a logical person. But here we go. We're going to start with the moon again today, but I'm going to take it into a different territory. Every day we talk about the moon and the sign that it's in. We talk about the energy of that sign, and we talk about the different connections that the moon will make during the day with the other planets in our solar system. But when we look at human design, the moon is also transiting through different gates. And so we also have energy, another layer, let's say, of energy that we can look at and evaluate what is going on in the heavens above us when we look at the energy through the human design. Or we could take that one step deeper and look at it through the gene keys, right? Where we see the shadow energy, we see the gift energy, and we see the highest expression of the energy of the day or of the moon or of the planetary body through what we call the Siddhi. And so let's see if we can do that this morning. I'm going to go to Facebook really quickly here, check in, see how everybody's doing, and make sure I am live because I can't see myself here. There I am. Woohoo. Okay. So good morning to Marissa. Good morning, Mimi. And good morning, Rebecca. Good morning, Jacqueline. Everybody is checking in, and I love that. So keep checking in with me. I had a conversation again yesterday with my friend Mimi out there, who helped moderate the comments that were coming in when we were being trolled. And so I'm trying to figure out a way that she can actually help moderate comments through the stream, alerting me to what's being said, because like I was telling you yesterday, I can only see those top four comments. And I meant to check the setting to see if I could change anything there. And it still doesn't look like I can change what comments I'm actually seeing or how many. So I guess I just have to go with that flow. But anyway, if I've missed you in saying good morning, know that you're in my heart, right? At some point here, I will see you. Good morning, Jan Harley. Just as I was getting ready to switch away, she shows in and says good morning. Okay, so let's take a look first then at what the moon is doing through the signs. And today the moon is still transiting through the sign of Cancer. And today it puts it in an opposition to the planet Jupiter in Capricorn. So again, we are set up for some really deep dives into the balancing of work and family. And so we have Cancer, which is the more nurturing home body, family-oriented, tradition-oriented sign. And then on the other half, Jupiter in Capricorn, that is about the work and how we rise through the world and make our mark on the world. So we have to bring these two in balance, the home and family and traditions that we love, as well as the work that we do and how we call our authority to us in the world and how we express authentically the truth of who we are in the world. Now, also today, the moon in Cancer is in a trine to Neptune, and a trine to Neptune really just amps up the intuition energy or the energy of knowingness. We could even go there with that. It's a very spiritual energy. We may be doing more inner work, more contemplation, and be working deeper on some of the issues that may have come up for us so far this week. It is also a highly imaginative connection. So again, we have creative energy, imaginative energy, we have spiritual energy, and we're also balancing work and home. And the idea of we need both, right? We need to be able to make our marks in our homes and our families. Our foundation needs to be strong. And then we can go out in the world and leave our mark in the world. Now, when we look at the moon through human design, I'm going to share my screen now because this is the human design chart for the day. And I just want, if you guys are owners of this little book that's called the 2020 Ephemeris. If you have this book, over here on this side of the page is all of the settings for the moon. And you'll notice, of course, like the moon moves quickly through a sign, it moves through gates at a specific rate, through the six lines and then on into the next gate. And it hits anywhere from 2 to 3 different gates in a day. And that's because in astrology, we do degrees. And in human design, we do a span of degrees. So for example, I can give you that example. I actually had that open this morning. I should move my coffee before I spill it yet again. I did that yesterday. That was fun. So today, for example, the moon is moving for the bulk of the day. The moon is moving from 9 degrees to 15 degrees of Cancer. And so we get a span of degrees in human design rather than a single degree, right? So it works just a little bit differently. So when we say Cancer, we're taking up a 30 degree span, but you can't just say there's only one gate for Cancer because the span of degrees is picking up 3 or so gates, or maybe even 5 or so in that sign. So today the moon is sitting, if you could look right over here, the moon is sitting at the gate 39, which is the gate of provocation. And it's a gate that sits very low in the human design chart. It's sitting on the root center. So therefore, it is an energy of impulse. It is an energy where we find stress, perhaps, but it is also an energy that provokes us. It's actually called the gate of provocation, but it provokes us to move out into the world, to find our way, to connect to abundance, because that's what it connects with over here, is the gate of abundance. And remember, Mercury is sitting here. So for everyone today, we have this entire channel defined by two planets. Now, you may have it defined already in your birth chart in some way. Like in my human design, this entire channel is already defined. So today's nothing new for me. But for some of you who have this completely open, or who have one or the other end open, today's transits bring them together, and you may find yourself at the edge of being provoked. So when the moon is in provocation, we're finding a way through obstacles. Remember, we talked about yesterday when the universal energy of Pleiadian Earth energy was in 6, which was the energy of flow. And like water rushing down through a stream, if there's something blocking its way, it finds its way around it, over it, under it, cutting a new channel if necessary, because I've seen rivers do that around here, especially lately with all the rain we've had. And so we are finding our way through obstacles when the moon is sitting at the gate of provocation. And here we also have another little, like, tricky little energy in this gate of provocation, where what we're looking at is a mirror. And when we're seeing our inner and our outer world reflected to us in perfection, right? It's perfect. Even though we may not like what we see in the reflection, it is always perfect for what it is that we need to work with, what we're being provoked to move forward with, or what we're being provoked to let go of, what we're being provoked to listen more deeply to see ourselves more clearly. So provoking or being provoked is not the same as fighting. It is conflict in some cases, because we come up against our own inner dynamics, right? Our own inner places of challenge, or our the things that we judge ourselves about, or the things we don't like about ourselves. But we're often also seeing that in someone else. So it might be your spouse or your daughter, your son, a coworker, colleague, somebody out there, even somebody on the news or in the news, that triggers something within you as a provocation or a provoking, so that you will look into that mirror in a deeper way and you will learn to release yourself from that mirror, or at the very least, come to accept yourself and the reflection that you see in the mirror. And then finally, if we look at this in the gene keys through the frequency band, meaning the shadow, the gift, and the siddhi, we see that in the lowest expression, it's provocation. That's where it all starts, right? We're provoked, we're triggered. That's another really good word to use. We're triggered about something. And then it leads us to dynamism, which is an action word. It is about movement. It is about taking steps forward. And then finally, ultimately, liberation. So it's the path from provocation to liberation through dynamism, i.e. taking action. Now, in human design, we look at this channel in a little bit different way. Notice that it's joining the root center over here to the emotional center. And this is the channel that in human design we call the channel of emoting. And it's a really juicy channel for people to really understand what they're feeling and to feel their emotions. Now, some of you out there have an open emotional center. That means this, and this center right here would be white. So really, to get the most out of these broadcasts in the morning, remember two things: bring your human design chart, two, bring your astrology chart, and three, you may even want to, as we begin to move into the gene key study group, get your genetic, your hologenetic profile, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. So if you have this open in your natal human design or natal gene keys, then this means that this channel is suddenly turned on and you may feel more emotional, right? You may be broadcasting emotion now and not knowing quite where that trigger is coming from. Likely it's coming from, it can be coming from within as you struggle with something that you're feeling that you maybe don't quite know how to express. But it can also be coming from a trigger outside of you that is, you know, somebody else's, because you're empathic, if you have it open typically, that you may be being triggered by somebody else's emotion. And now you're taking it in, amplifying it, broadcasting it while you have the opportunity with that center defined suddenly by transit. Now, if we look at the gate of provocation on the root center, if you have the root center open, you are often under pressure to get things done, feeling stressed about the number of things that you have to do. And then if an emotional trigger comes up, then it can really make your day go down the drain very quickly. So here, if you have an open root center, remember that you do not have to get it all done today. There is a number of hours in the day that you can devote to certain things. And if your to-do list is getting too long, it's time to cut it off, right? Because what happens in that open root center that has now become defined by provocation, you may be attempting to get everything on the list done. And the more that gets, the closer you get to the end of the list, the more things get added to the list. And you end up with the never-ending to-do list. I always seem to have this conversation with our friend here in the morning, Kathy Miller, who's always got this stuff going on. And, you know, going from one thing to another. And ultimately, that leads to burnout. Right? So burnout. So we got to make sure that we're not getting emotionally burned out. We have to make sure that we are not putting way too much on our plate, because today is really meant to be a more introverted day, a day for deep listening. What is that emotion showing me? What is this pressure I'm feeling showing me? And how do I work with that energy? So now, if any of you have these centers defined, you might have one or the other defined. It's basically the same thing. If it's defined already, you're not under any new pressure. You're not under any new emotional pressure or emotional expression. But if you don't have that channel, and that channel suddenly defines you, then you have perhaps emotional energy coming up. In the gene keys, do I still have that open? Let me see if I have something open. I'm going to stop sharing my screen here for a minute. see if I still have that open. I wanted to show this to you. Okay, I do. So let me share my screen again. No, that isn't it. All right. Sorry. Anyway, let me go back over here to Facebook and see how people are doing. Any questions about this, about emotions, about how to express yourself in your emotions? Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, Jacqueline Lopez. Oh, shoot. Both are open for me for gate 39. Saturn is sitting there. Here we go with these lessons. So both centers are open for you then, Jacqueline, I guess is what you're saying. And then 39 is defined. It must be hanging. And at gate 39, when it's hanging, by the way, let me say one more thing here. When you have these energies popping up in your chart or popping up, you know, especially like a Debbie Hedden, who is a reflector, that, and all of these things, for her, when they pop up on a regular basis, tend to bring her experiences based on other people in her lives, right? In her life, because that's the only way that she experiences life is through others, right? Because her as a reflector, she is experiencing the world through other people. Now, that same sort of thing happens to us when we have hanging gates. So if you have a hanging gate 39, which means you're a provocateur perhaps at times, and at other times you are being provoked, then when you have that channel that suddenly fills in with another planet, that whole channel comes together, and now you're not experiencing it just through other people, you're experiencing it in a consistent way for however long that transit stays in effect. And by the way, that transit of the moon through the gate 39 lasts until 9:33 p.m. That is UTC time, so that's going to be about 1:30 p.m. my time and about 4:30 p.m. for you in the East Coast. Then the moon will move over to the gate 53, and the gate 53 then will introduce new energy to us, a different energy to us, and the gate 53's energy, which I didn't look at really today, is, let me see if I can show you that human design chart again. And share my screen. I'm going to share this. There we go. So the gate 53 also sitting on the root center here, the impulse to start something, right? It pushes us out in the world. And hold on. 53, is that the starting? That's the starting gate. I always get 53 and 42 mixed up. 42 completes things. It's up here at this on the sacral. 53 initiates or takes something and starts something new. I guess I looked at the time 21:33 and thought, well, that's late in the evening. It really won't affect us. But for us here in the United States, it definitely will, because it's not like we're getting ready to go to bed. We're right in the, you know, middle of our day if you're on the West Coast, and toward the end of your day if you're on the East Coast. So maybe provocation opens up a doorway for you that leads you to the potential for a new beginning. I like that idea as well. So what I'm liking about this is being able to see a little deeper into what the energies are about. So when we're looking at Cancer, we have one set of things. We know it's about nurturing and caring and mothering energy, and it's defensive when it's triggered. And that's also in provocation as well, that defense mechanism, that need for security and inner stability. All of that is, you know, through Cancer, the whole of the sign of Cancer. But if we looked at just the span of degrees that the moon is sitting at for today, we're in that state of provocation, being provoked or being the provocateur. And that's how human design works. All of these gates and all of these centers have a frequency band. And this is what Richard Rudd stumbled upon in the Gene Keys, that there's this frequency band through which these energies express themselves, either through fear and the shadow, or through the gift as we are moving up through our evolution, and finally into the Siddhic state, where we've finally sort of reached some sort of nexus. And at that point, which is an interesting observation, once we reach that Siddhic state, all of the other levels just sort of disappear, and there isn't any more of the fear field or the gift field. We're completely in that Siddhic state and in that Siddhic field. So I would say that when we notice a world that is not so interested in hierarchy and who's better than whom, who has more money than whom, who has more toys, who has more experience, yada, 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 we'll see that we have enjoined into the Siddhic state where all is one and one is all. Huh, how profound. Okay. So going back again to Facebook, let's see, questions, comments. Monique Alexander, good morning. And Jacqueline says, yes, it has half red and half black. That's interesting too. Colleen, manifesting generators can go from one to another to a certain point, right? I have those centers defined. I can't remember the channels. So yes, now a manifesting generator is it's describing your type. So it's a bigger picture. It's the way that you would operate in the world best. It's the way that you would find your most authentic you and the most authentic expression of you in the world. That's what you would see through your type and your strategy. When we're looking at the gates or we're looking at channels, what we're really looking at are the details, right? We're getting to the nitty gritty. We're now looking to the DNA level. We're looking at the codons that are open or that are triggered or defined. I mean, not necessarily triggered, but defined, triggered if they're suddenly becoming defined by a transiting planet. So it's not quite apples to say it that way, but I think you're on the right track, Colleen. Manifesting generators are meant to move from one thing to another really kind of quickly. They can skip steps. They can handle multiple things. They do better, in fact, when they have multiple things on their plate. The last thing that you want for a manifesting generator is to be a couch potato, to have nothing to do, to be sitting around waiting for life to show them something. Manifesting generators are doers. When they don't have something to do, all that energy kind of sits in their body, pinging around, and can literally create disease processes for them because they're not expressing that energy. It's just sitting inside their body, just kind of causing chaos. So yeah, manifesting generators, get out and do. And okay, so I don't see any questions here. And if you have questions, please go ahead and list them. Now, I want to go on to a conversation for a minute about the Gene Key Study Group. Literally yesterday, I brought that up because I really want a study group where we're going into where I could have continued with the talk on the Gene Key 13, taking it deeper into that gift level and really, you know, tearing that apart and looking at it. And so I sat and tried to figure what could we do? How could we do this? Because I know when we're dealing with an entire globe of people from different time zones, it's going to be very difficult to hit upon a time that everybody can join us. So somebody had emailed me and said something and I went, oh, what about a Facebook group? So I've started a Gene Key study group. I have opened it up to the entire Living Astrology Facebook list. And if you did not get a personal invite, that doesn't mean you're not invited. It just means that somehow I didn't see your name on the list to be able to invite. So you can find the group. It's listed with my Living Astrology page, the Gene Key, I think it's just called Gene Key Study Group, and you can join that group. And I will, as time goes on here, I think I want to start. I had a conversation with Tom yesterday about dates to start because we are in that shadow of Mercury retrograde. Mercury actually moves retrograde on the 16th. So I'm thinking the Friday, the 14th, Valentine's Day, let's start. Right? Let's put a date to have this group start. Time-wise, I'm still struggling a bit with time. I'm thinking I'm landing at 12 p.m. Pacific, and that's because that's 3 p.m. on the East Coast. It is at a decent time. It's early, early morning for those of you in Australia, New Zealand, and for those of you in Europe, it should be, you know, evening time. So I think it's 8 o'clock in the evening GMT. So I think that gives us sort of the best opportunity to get to the most number of people. So it's going to be at noon. Now, I'm also going to do it just like I do here. I am going to broadcast. I haven't decided if I'm going to broadcast it live, but I am going to do Zoom. And in that, then we have the opportunity to record the session and then anybody can get to that later on. So it's going to be something where you can drop in and you don't have to be there every day or every time we do it. I can't decide yet if it's weekly. I think we're going to do it every other week because I'll tell you why. It's deep material. And to try to do that weekly might start to stress people out. And I don't, that isn't the intention, right? The intention is to learn and to contemplate and to understand how these energies are playing in your world, in your life. So I think we'll do that every other week. And there are a couple things you'll need. One is the Gene Keys book, right? You're going to need to get the Gene Keys book. I'll post where you can get that. And also it might be a good idea to get your hologenetic profile, even though initially we won't be using it. But if I refer to it, then you have yours. So I will also post that on the page later today as to where you can get your hologenetic profile. And it would be a good idea to set up a separate notebook. I have my Gene Keys notebook here where all my Gene Keys information is in it, my profile and blank paper that I can use to write notes with and, you know, things that I've printed from, you know, different experiences I've had. From the ambassador program when I was in that. So you might want to have a separate notebook set up where you can put in your chart and you can put in the study materials so that you have that at your fingertips. And then I also will try, I need to talk to Rosie Aronson because I would really love to use her cards as well in this process. I just want to make sure that I'm in integrity with that and not doing something that I probably shouldn't be doing. So I'm going to have a chat with her about that. And so we may be able to encompass the contemplation questions from the cards into the work that we're doing. In either case, you can always get the deck yourself and look at the Gene Key that we happen to be studying and find those contemplation questions for working in your own way and on your at your own pace. We're going to begin with the Gene Key 22. I made a covenant with the ambassador group, and that was to focus on three specific gene keys, the Gene Key 11, the 22, and the 55. And I think it's apropos to start with the 22 because Neptune is sitting there all year. And so we have long-term presence of this gate being defined in our human design. And what does that mean for us? Because Neptune, remember, takes us on a trip through redemption, through spiritual content and spiritual connection. And we have the opportunity then to really look at what's the involution process that is playing out on the planet, because the 22 takes us on that inner journey. So I think it's a really good place to start. It is a very long gene key. It has a lot of information. It is deep. So we will be doing that in layers. And so what you could do if you plan on being a participant in that group, get the book. And if you already have the book, start reading the 22nd Gene Key. And make sure you have a notebook set up and that you have your hologenetic profile. And if you have issues around getting the book, please let me know. I may have a solution for you. Okay. That's it for that for now. I'm going to go back to Facebook quickly, see if we have questions. How's everybody doing here? Marissa, perhaps my question should be, how do I know when my manifesting generator husband needs to rest? Seems like he's still for 10 minutes. He is suddenly asleep, but he avoids being still for too long because he doesn't like to have downtime. As a generator, this sometimes wears me out. Well, I'm not even really sure how to answer that for you because you as a generator also have that defined sacral center and it's always on. It doesn't turn off. There is no off switch if you're a generator or a manifesting generator. The best I can do for you is to tell you to listen to your body and to pay attention when your body needs rest. As for your husband, I don't know how spiritually inclined he is or if he's, you know, willing to hear you when you talk about the dimension of spirituality. But if so, then, you know, maybe have a conversation with him about understanding how energy flows and when to rest. And it seems like he's totally getting it when he suddenly sits still, he's asleep. So that's something good to know. But without knowing his actual human design or his actual chart, I can't really help you. Does he have all the motors defined? Is he open in the will center and the root center, but has the defined sacral leading up to the throat? That kind of thing. So there's so much more to the picture, Marissa, and I'm sorry if that's unsatisfactory, but it's about the best I could do. Jacqueline says, I bought the book, not the cards. Awesome. Debbie says, was already stressed because that's what I do. Have my book, but not profile. I will be posting that on the Gene Key study page for you. And okay, no other questions yet. So let's go on to the Pleiadian Earth energy for the day. And here we're going to get and we're going to see some coherence. I just love it. I almost want to just jump for joy every time this happens because it tells us we're on the right track when we have these synchronicities or these coherence things that pop up for us between the different systems that we're using in astrology, human design, the gene keys, and the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar. Today is the day 7, and that is the universal energy of the day. It is called merging worlds. So it is where we're interdimensional beings and we're merging these things together, or at least that's the opportunity. The earth energy of the day is listening. Isn't that interesting? We're in the Gene Key 13 for today and tomorrow as we finish up that week in the energy of listening. And here today, we bring it home, right? That listening. And what does that mean for us? So today is 7 listening. And listening in the Mayan calendar was Akbal, and it represented the night. It represented stillness. It represented that quiet space, that inner void, if you will, of complete and utter silence. So let's talk a little bit now about what all of those energies mean for the day. The 7 merging worlds, remember, this is a doorway energy because 7 is the midpoint between the 1 and the 13. So we're at the midpoint between initiation or the new beginning and completion. So the halfway point, 7, right? The doorway between the initiation and completion. And here's where we are being called to discover and decode hidden truths. So in the silence, what are you hearing? And how does that help you understand yourself more, your place in the universe and how it works, your family, your history, your family of origin, all of that? How does this energy of the day help you decode all of that and get to the nitty-gritty of the meaning? And here's where we come up to that energy of the veil. We're participating in and creating, by the way, the energy of that veil. That forgetting is something that we've created. It's not something someone else created. We've created it. We've participated in that world of illusion. And we have yet to recognize that everything on the planet is all of our own creation. And it springs from the energy of duality. We don't even understand duality, right? If we did, we wouldn't have division. We wouldn't see other, right? We would see unity and oneness, and we would see our own uniqueness in that oneness, right? Instead of the duality where we seem to be separate from everyone and different in a way that separates us instead of a way that unites us, right? So we don't understand the true purpose of duality. So we've created this veil where we've forgotten our true selves. We've forgotten that we're actually the creators of this illusion, of this life we have here on the planet. 7 reminds us of that, reminds us that we can be engaged in bringing all of those worlds together, all of our different dimensions. Likely, the unifying principle of the universe is that you are multidimensional, that you are not living just in this lifetime. Your focus is here in this lifetime, but likely there's a string, and who knows if it's a circle or a tesseract or what it is, but likely you are living and breathing in many different realities. And maybe you're not even is breathing if even real. Sure seems like it, right? Because we go and we breathe out, but It's an illusion that's created by ourselves. The seven seeks to merge all of these different views, the opposites, and into a harmonious whole, right? So today's a day for bringing in a harmonious whole as a way to be able to transcend conflict, right? Conflict springs from a feeling of separation, from division, from discord, all of those shadow energies, which all take us back to the fear field on the planet. So we to transcend that conflict, we have to understand the multidimensional nature of who we are. And we understand that from the place of quietness. And you're going to love this. This is also mirror energy, where we use the outer world. We use our relationships as a way to mirror to us where it is that we might be out of sorts, where we're not in alignment, or where we are in alignment, right? If you have wonderful, juicy relationships that are working well, it doesn't mean that you're always in la-la land and there's never any conflict. It just means that when conflict arises, you use that appropriately and you understand as a way to understand yourself more deeply and what's going on with you. So the mirror can show us where we're going right, as well as where we still need work to be done. And to be able to be conscious enough to and aware enough to understand that is what a day like today brings to us, right? The awareness of we're standing in that gateway, right? Where the initiation is the beginning of something, the beginning of an evolution through those 13 energies. And that we're right now at the midpoint of that, where we are really triggered to move into the higher order of those energies, the higher part of that cycle. The energy of the earth today is in listening, or Akbal. And here's where we're listening deeply to the whispers of the universe, the whispers of truth, and the secrets that are hidden when we take the time to listen. I should say the secrets that are revealed when we take the time to listen, when we go into that space. This is a day of insights that lead to new understandings. So the aha factor is still here with us as we're able to awaken to something. And then as we awaken to something, to be able to see the relationships and how all of these things are related and how the secrets of the universe were really hidden by ourselves. This is a day to slow down, reconnect to the universal energy, reconnect to quiet, reconnect to stillness. Because, you know, Marissa and her husband, that's not, you may have sustainable life force energy, but sustainable doesn't mean infinity, right? It's sustainable for however long of a period of time you need that energy, and then you rest, right? We have to remember that we're both extra out in the world, and we're also introverted or inner beings. And when we have a day like today, where we're in that deeper listening, where we're in that quiet, where we can access that stillness, it allows us to bring those spiritual perspectives into form. Otherwise, we're constantly being, you know, bombarded with noise and stimulus and games and the television and phones and information overload. This is a day to cut that off, so that you can integrate and embody spirituality or spiritual concepts in form, in your body. And in silence, then we integrate all of our experiences from the previous 6 days, right? The previous the days, the experiences that we've had, the challenges we've had, the rewarding experiences that we've had. We integrate all of that so that we can also tune in to what comes next. Where do we go from here? If you're constantly in motion and moving and loud and blah, 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 you're not ever taking the time to truly integrate anything. So we do have this moment where we're called to the stillness, right? We're called into that stillness. We're called to be more patient. We're called to seek the wisdom from our hearts by moving within and not necessarily without. But one of the ways that you can move within is by taking and looking at what's happening in your outer world and what is it showing you about yourself. So one thing I could say to Marissa, I'm going to go back to Facebook here for a second, is that what is your husband, showing you about you. I'm sorry, I caught something in this area of my video, and it was disturbing for a minute. It could have been my hand going through this field. Anyway, so Marissa, what is your husband showing you about you, right? That's the idea. He's a mirror to you. Where are you too busy? Where are you not taking time to be quiet and still? Where is your mind always running, 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 or you're always doing, doing, doing? So, you know, your job isn't to heal him or to work on him. Your job is to work on you. And since he's in your outer world, what does that mean for you? That's how I always look at things. Once I get emotional. I am emotional. And when I'm triggered by somebody or something that's going on, the next, you know, in the moment I'm expressing whatever feeling I'm experiencing, but then I take that moment to go within and what is this showing me about me? You know, what is this telling me? What is it showing me? So I would also use it that way, Marissa, just not to beat yourself up, just to look at and understand why that might be showing up. Marissa says, he's showing me I need to rest more. I forget he is my mirror. When I rest, he'll rest. Woohoo! There you go. That is one of those secrets being revealed. It is one of those insights and ahas. That's awesome. Okay. And Jan says, it's your outer feeling. He got sick and then I got sick. Marissa says, ooh, that often happens. And Jan, I'm not sure what your comment was in respect to. It says it's your outer feeling. Mimi says, I continue to get a message regarding the quiet hum of bees compared to the angry hive. The first one, a calming frequency of working together versus the angry buzz we are aware of in the outer world. That's profound. You know, interesting, Mimi, that you say that because a few years back, I got a message from the bees. And this is how generators and manifesting generators can often work with the world at large, with that outer world, right? You're in response to things that are showing up. I would go out and I would sit, and I swear to you, bees would come to me and sit. They'd fly, land on the table on my patio that I was sitting at, as if they were looking to have a conversation with me. And I'd just sit there and look at them. For one thing, I'm not really afraid of bees, but I would just sit there and look. And one day I just sort of asked the bee if it had a message for me. And it took off flying from flower to flower to flower. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting, because to me, the bee was doing what comes natural, moving from one juicy experience of life to another and to another. And then if there wasn't something going on in that one flower, then it moved to the next, etc. So our animal friends, our insect friends, our outer world really can be the source of a lot of information if you are willing to go there and look at it and get the message. And that's a really profound message, Mimi. I think that's a good message for everybody. That the quiet hum compared to the angry hive. That's great. That's great. Okay. So that is it for me today. I managed to get through a lot of material. If you guys have any questions, you know, you can certainly reach out. Mimi says, love your story of bees. Animals do this all the time for me. I think I've told you the story before. I live on an island. And it's in the Pacific Northwest. So when I'm used to seeing owls and hawks and bald eagles and seagulls and the, you know, seabirds and all of that kind of stuff. But one day I was sitting in my dining room and all of a sudden I hear a knock at my door. And it wasn't really rhythmic like that. It was more kind of off rhythm. And I was like, what is that? So I go to the door and there was a peacock at my door, a peacock knocking on my door. Literally, three of them were on my porch. One was roosted up on the banister. One was on the patio, or I mean at the front door, knocking on the screen, which is why it sounded weird to me. And then the other one, a male, was sitting behind the female that was knocking on my door. Now, come on, peacocks are not native here. Obviously, somebody had peacocks around here and they managed to come to my door. I had to go looking for the message. What is that peacock showing me? Because she wasn't knocking on somebody else's door. She was knocking on mine. So she was in my world. And so then I went looking for that message. So whenever these things happen, one day a hawk did the same thing and was out on my front porch. I heard it flopping around. I just heard all this kind of weird noise. I opened my screen door and look, and there's this hawk sitting there. And then as soon as I saw him, he lifted off and flew away as if, okay, message delivered. Your turn to now figure it out. And anyway, crows and ravens, they're another one that deliver really profound messages sometimes. So it's actually, you know, fun to let your outer world inform you of what is going on, of a message that you need to receive. And Mimi, that's awesome that you got that delivered about the bees, but it can happen with other people. It can happen with other animals and even, you know, plants that suddenly grow in your front yard. Like one day I was noticing a lot of this one particular plant, and now I can't remember what it's called. I thought it was yarrow or something like that. Yeah, I think it was yarrow. And it had never been growing in my yard before. And I was like, why is this plant showing up? And I ended up looking it up because I didn't even know what it was at first. But when I found it, then I sort of looked at what is the healing property of that plant. And it turned out it had something to do with digestion, if I remember correctly, or calming. And at that point in my life, I was really stressed. So here a plant comes along to show me a remedy perhaps to something that I was experiencing. So even the plant world can deliver messages if you're willing to listen, right? That's it. We just have to open our eyes, open our ears, listen to the signs and the symbols that the universe is showing us. I get that sometimes we don't open up to coincidences, I think is what that word, it's a sub coincidence, but that's exactly it, right? We have all of these things going on that we can use to help us understand ourselves better. Use them, understand them. And if you don't understand immediately, like I didn't understand the peacock, I still sometimes wonder like, what the heck was that all about? But let it sit with you. You know, you go to find your answers, you go within to find the answer and looking at your life. And sometimes you still don't get the exact meaning for you. Maybe you're not meant to. Maybe it's just a subconscious sort of message that's coming up for the moment. And just having the message delivered or seeing it, connecting with it is all that you needed, right? So don't overthink it because that also will drive you crazy. Just kind of do some due diligence and, you know, questioning and then release that attachment too. Marissa says, my animal seems to be deer. I also get deer, and deer are interesting because I look at a deer and I see this gentle, beautiful animal. And it always drives me crazy that people can kill them, or, you know, hunt them every year. And I look at them and I see this gentle, you know, animal. But did you also know that deer are very protective? They're very powerful. They're like pillars of peace until you scare them or you assault them in some way, and then they can actually deliver some very hard kicks. So they're very protection oriented. So you might explore a little bit about deer and what's deer showing you. Maybe where you need to be more gentle, maybe where you need to be more assertive. Only you'll know that. Jacqueline says, I have a falcon that comes and a Canadian and a cardinal. I'm in a suburban place. We do not really see them. You know, that's when you really know it's a message being delivered to you. When you have this out of context animal that comes to visit, right? Like the peacocks coming to my door, you know, out of context completely. I might've expected to connect. Oh, I also had a bald eagle one time fly right through my yard and drop something like right in front of me. And it was kind of gross. It was the wing of a duck, but it was a gift, right? It was a gift from the universe, a gift from spirit, because eagle represents spirit. So interesting things can happen when you're really in tune to nature. So it's kind of fun to live that way too. And you can always go online, and I just go to Google and I Google, what does deer mean? The shamanic meaning of blah. But I also have books on those things too. God, there's one book that's really good for animals. I'll look that one up today. I have it sitting out in the living room. So anyway, I love talking about this. I just love the idea that we live in a world that is conversing with us all the time, and not a quiet, out of the way sort of place, that there's something really juicy fun going on here. So go out today and find your juicy fun, right? Go into that quiet place and see what shows up in your inner world. Listen. Okay, guys, that's it for me. I'll see you tomorrow. I can't believe this, but tomorrow is Friday, and tomorrow we have the planet Venus moving into Aries. That should be fun for the next few weeks. So we'll talk about that. In the meantime, have a great day. See you all tomorrow. Bye for now.